Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. Today we're going to share the experience of Miranda from NDERF.org. She says, I had been in a rollover accident and was unresponsive to anything. I could hear everyone around me talking to me and telling me to pull through. Then I remember feeling a heavy weight on my chest, and I could not breathe. Then the room got dark, and I could not see anyone. Then I felt as light as air and floated to the top of the room, and then it went black again. Then I could see doctors and nurses running into the room. I walked into the room and saw that they were trying to save someone who was coding. I did not think of anything at the time, but my brother was doing CPR because he's a medic. I saw my dad and stepmom had a worried look on their faces and tried to ask why, but they did not hear me. Then everyone around me seemed to fade away. I felt like I was floating up to the ceiling of the room. At the top, I looked down, and I saw my body being worked on. I knew why my dad and stepmom had a worried look on their faces and why my brother was doing CPR. Everything then went into fast-forward pace. I saw one of my other brothers crying over his brand new laptop. I saw my stepdad and another one of my brothers crying in the chapel of the hospital. Then I saw my aunt, who lives in another state, crying at a desk and holding the cross from her necklace that she was wearing that night at work. Then everything around me went black. I could not see or hear anything. I do not know where I was. I felt lost and alone. I wanted to go back, but something was pushing me through the blackness. After what felt like a lifetime of blackness, I started to see a bright, glowing light. A light so bright that it should have overpowered me, but it did not. It was calming and peaceful, and I was feeling love, the kind that you just can't know of. As it got closer to me, I started hearing music. I then saw prism-like lights coming to me and talking to me, telling me that everything was going to be okay. When I got to the light, I saw my mom, who had passed away in November of 2003. She told me that I had to go back. It was not my time. I still had things to do. I remember telling her that I did not want to go back. I wanted to stay with her there. She told me that I had to go back to my dad and the world of the living. She and my grandfather, who passed away in June of 2003, and two others that I believe were my stepmother's aunt, who passed away in May of 2002, and a family friend of my stepmother's, who passed away in August 2003, made me lay down on my back and close my eyes. My mom said to just hear her voice as I kept my eyes closed. As I did, I heard my mom's voice and music and saw light spots float up. As spots floated up, I was learning about things I didn't know before. When I floated back into my body, I remember I was feeling pain in my right hip and left wrist from injuries from the accident. I also remember hearing my dad's voice again and felt his hand touching me. That is the end of Miranda's experience. And it's a beautiful experience. You know, there's something that I find interesting in here. And, you know, when I point out these different things, the things that I'm pointing out are rarely the most important aspects of the experience, nor are they the most prominent or thing that they remember the most necessarily. But what I'm trying to do in pointing these things out and sharing these things is to show new points that we may not have seen before, or at least not seen much, or that we're trying to explore further. If you've listened to this whole podcast from the very beginning, you'll know that we had much time talking about the light, talking about the void, the darkness, and feelings of love and so forth. Those are clearly the most potent and strong aspects of the experience, the most memorable. But the little things that I point out on the day-to-day basis are often things that I haven't seen before, or that this is rare, or this is something that I've been trying to take note of, or different things in order to get the full big picture. So I don't want you to think when you hear about these silly little things that I point out, it's not that I'm trying to say that that's the most interesting or scientific or whatever part of it. It's just that's the unique part that I found in this experience that doesn't always happen that way. Or maybe, you know, we're starting to explore and find this happening more and more often, and therefore I'm pointing it out in order for you to get the same research in that I'm doing. That's one of my reasons for doing this podcast, is for research purposes and trying to understand. Anyway, the thing that I noticed and found interesting in this one is that Miranda seems to be kind of, it's almost like, you know how on TV or on a show or movie, you know, you're following something and then boom, you're in a totally different situation, and then boom, or you're flipping angles, you know, for a conversation or whatever. It's almost seeming to do that a little bit. She is, you know, in the hospital room, she feels herself float up from her body to the top of the room, and she says, and then it went black. Then I could see doctors and nurses running into the room. I walked into the room, which is interesting because she'd just been at the ceiling. So now all of a sudden, floop, she blinks over, or, you know, her spirit is suddenly over, I guess, outside of the room, and she walks into the room, whether through the door or what, I don't know, but she says, and saw that they were trying to save someone who was coding. I didn't think anything of it at the time because my brother was a medic. I saw my dad and stepmom looking worried. And she says, then everything seemed to fade away. So she's blanking out again. Is this an unconscious fading, or is this like a TV kind of fading where everything goes black and then it comes light again in a new situation? I don't know. But she says, then everything around me seemed to fade away. I felt like I was floating up to the ceiling of the room. Now that's interesting, because she'd just been there, floating up to the ceiling of the room, and then she appeared out of the room, she walked in, saw there was people working on somebody, and then she's back floating in the room, or again, floating to the top of the room. She says, at the top, I looked down and saw my body being worked on. And at this point, she knows why her dad and stepmom had worried. And then she says, everything then went into fast forward pace. Saw my brother's crying over his brand new laptop. When I first read that, I'm like, why? What happened to the laptop? But then I realized, oh no, he's probably reading the message of her death or accident or whatever it was that got her in the hospital in the first place. And so he's crying over his new laptop, having read that message, probably. And then her stepdad, or crying in the chapel of the hospital. Is she, like, appearing in these different locations as her spirit? I mean, she does say everything went into fast-forward pace. So is it, like, image, 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 bam, 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 that she's seeing? Or is she fast-forwarding to their location? I don't know. Either way, I find it interesting. And then she sees even her, where did she say? Her aunt, who lives in another state, crying at a desk and holding the cross from her necklace, and she was wearing that night at work, probably praying. I mean, if she's holding the cross and crying, she's probably praying in some way, and she hears that prayer. This is interesting that these are the images or scenes that are flashed before Miranda, because it seems that when a person prays over the dying, that person who is dying often sees that or hears the prayer. Sometimes they'll hear it while they're traveling through the tunnel. Sometimes they'll be there at their side and hearing their thoughts, different things like that. So if you're with someone who is dying or injured or whatever, don't think they don't hear you, because there's a very good chance that they do. In fact, I had an uncle who, I mean, dang well should have had a near-death experience. He died for about an hour and a half. His heart was stopped for an hour and a half. He was going blue. He was even stiffening. And they were able to bring him back. I don't even know how that happened. It had been carbon monoxide poisoning. And so he just dozed off and woke up in the hospital feeling rather lightheaded and woozy. But I asked him, Do you remember anything? He's like, no, I remember I was working on something and must have dozed off, because I don't, next thing I know, I'm waking up in the hospital here. And he says, I feel kind of tired. I'm like, well, if that's the worst you feel with having died and come back, then, you know, kudos to you. And I asked him months later, too, do you ever remember anything from the time you were unconscious? And he just says, no, but I'm glad to be here, kind of thing. And he's a very spiritual man, so if he, you know, he had an experience and felt like it was too special and personal to share, or he didn't have an experience. But I remember after he died, I remember having a prayer and even a moment of just kind of speaking out loud to him, you know, after I heard his heart has stopped, he's, you know, we think there's very little chance that he's coming back. I thought, well, he's gone if his heart stopped. You know, he's not going to stick around. So I kind of spoke out loud to him and said, hey, you know, I'm going to miss you, love you, and all that stuff. But when he came back, again, he hadn't had any kind of experience that he could remember. And so he didn't know that I'd done that. Now, the reason I share that is because I suspect that once he does die, the memory will come back of that experience and the prayers that were offered on his behalf, as well as anyone that spoke to him, things like that. These things can happen retro, whether in the time that they happen or much later. Remember, their life review is pretty dang thorough. And so don't think that your loved ones can't or won't hear you. Because sooner or later, more than likely, they will. So, anyway. So, if you would like to contact the podcast, you can do so by either emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com or by calling 970-NDE-CAST. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can purchase my book, Life in the Spirit World, or you can go to patreon.com/NDEcast and become an ongoing monthly contributor. And once again, thank you all of you so much again for listening.